Open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to look at the last three verses. So this will be the last study of our study of Romans. People have asked me, where next? And I still don't know. So I ask for your prayers. I'm thinking about doing a series on the Holy Spirit on Wednesday nights. Still praying about that. It'll be a topical study for probably 2 or 3 weeks, but then we'll get into the Word, but what was in the Word anyway, but another book. But I may like to do something a little different on Sunday morning than Wednesday night. Traditionally, in our church, we've done something different on Wednesday night than Sunday morning. But from time to time, we mix it up. So just to let you know that. So in other words, what I'm saying is I have no clue. All right, Romans chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 21. We'll look in verse 20. That's where we ended up last Sunday morning. And Paul mentions there to the church there of Rome, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. How long? Shortly. Oh. Someone's back there making all that kind of stuff. I can't see good. My glasses are off, Susan. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Then he mentions Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sopater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Many of the epistles were written by other people other than Paul. In the book of Galatians, Paul said to the church of Galatia, he said, you see how large a letter I've written unto you. The word large literally means big letters, not a long letter. Actually, the book of Galatians is not very long, but he literally meant big letters. And some believe because of his eyesight, he had a hard time writing as other people wrote for him. But so he's mentioning in verse 22, I, Tertullus, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. And Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then in verse 25 is where we end the night. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures, made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. The word amen means so be it. Let it be so. Look in verse 25. I want to sort of look at this in light of what Paul is saying to the church, because I think any time that we can go through the Bible and look at who God is, we're reminded of the Bible where it says that God is hard to know the Lord. God says, your ways aren't my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts, my ways are higher than yours. So anytime we get this opportunity to look at things said about God, I think it's very important to look into that. Not that other things aren't important, but this is really on my mind regarding these last three verses, because it really is, I think in some ways, a summation of what Paul has said in the book of Romans. We'll see that as we go along. Let me give you, I'm going to put up a little more slides than normal this evening. Look in verse 25. Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The word of establish means literally to settle resolutely in a certain direction, or to ground you, to have you grounded. So what he's ultimately saying is God is the one who, he says, is able. God is the one who's able. That is the Greek word dunamis, where we get a word dynamite. He's powerful enough to establish us according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, to help us to be rooted and grounded in the faith. And so Paul is saying that God's the one that does that. So you and I, maybe if you've been a Christian for a long time, or you've been following Jesus for some time, or maybe you're a baby believer, but ultimately it's God is the one that establishes. God is the one that enables us to follow him. It's by his divine grace. It's by his divine strength. God's the one that surrounds us. He is our shield. The Bible says he is our foundation. Other foundation can no man lay except what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The Bible says that under the shadow of his wings, we abide under the shadow of his wings. So ultimately, we are surrounded by God. And we're surrounded by God because we're in Christ. We're in Jesus. That's one of the big themes of the book of Romans. The position of the believer is in Christ. So God is the one that establishes us. He's the one that roots us. He's the one that causes us to be firmly planted. Paul the Apostle said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself. So I hope that in your life, in my life, none of the things that are happening in our culture, in our world, is moving us. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to be unsettled by these things. As a matter of fact, all these problems that we're seeing around us only causes us to trust in the Lord even more. I think about the devil and the devil's attacks upon our lives. And all that it does is causes us to turn to the Lord. So the point I'm trying to make again is in your response, in my response, when the devil is attacking you, you feel like you're under spiritual attack, if you and I will turn to the Lord, call out to the Lord, resist the devil, he will flee from us. The point I'm trying to make is that he's doing that. Is that my phone? No, it's not my phone. Mine's off. But anyway, it sounded like mine. But my point in all that, quiet your cell phones, please. But my point in all that is it's the Lord that established us. And the things that happen oftentimes negatively or traumatically should only drive the believer deeper into Jesus. And it's God that establishes that. We've talked about this journey. Paul mentions that in the 8th chapter of Romans, the purpose of God in our lives is to know Christ. God's ordained that we should know him, that we should be like him. That's the purpose of God. I said before in our study, that's why in that 8th chapter, all things work together for good. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He who searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit. Because he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit's interceding for us. Therefore, we know that all things work together for good. And Paul mentions the whole design of all this is that all things are working together. And Paul mentions that whom he's called, he also foreordained to be conformed in the image of his son. Simply mean that the plan of God for every Christian is to make us like Jesus. And so if we look at life in light of that truth that God has ordained, God is sovereign over the things in my life. All things work together for my good. The Holy Spirit's interceding for us. Here's my point. Here's what I'm trying to get to. Is that if the Holy Spirit's interceding for us, and as he intercedes for us, God the Father is searching, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, and is answering those prayers. And because God the Father is answering the prayers of the Spirit, and we know that all things are working together for us, not against us, then we can rest assured that what God is doing in our lives is designing the things that happen to us to make us more like Jesus. So what does that do in a practical sense? Chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. God's establishing us. God, the word established means rooted down, to be set resolutely in a certain direction. We are being established in the faith. We are being established in Christ. We are being driven, as it were. We are being moved by the Spirit of God deeper into Jesus. Paul the Apostle said it, that I press on towards the mark. In Philippians, he said that in the light of the fact that I'm pursuing Christ. I'm after Jesus. He's after me. And that is what God's doing. He's doing this. God's working in my life so that we're not left on our own. This is the work of God. Matter of fact, at the end of our study tonight, what Paul ultimately says is to God be the glory. This is the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel is that he died on the cross to deliver me from the power of sin. And the control of sin, that's one of the signs of a true believer. The 6th chapter of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, you're under grace. The law says to me, do this, and we can't do it. Grace tells me, step out of the way, I'll do this for you. So we're not under the law, we're under grace. And because we're under the grace of God, we're in the influence of and controlled by the grace of God. We have this power, this supernatural power to follow Jesus. That is another way of what Paul's saying in this 25th verse. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. He's establishing us. I love that. I love that. Or in other words, we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. We're not a product of our own effort, our own design, our own work, our own whatever. We're a work of the Holy Spirit. We're a work of God. We are the testimony of the grace of God. We are living epistles, Paul said, known and read of all men. So what is happening in your life, in my life? You see, when you hear this verse and you realize what he's saying, it changes everything. It's easy to say all things work together for good to those who love God. It's easy to say that. It's another thing when your world falls apart around you. That's when you're being tested. That's when you, can you say that? Can you say, my light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? That this is a light affliction compared to what's going to happen in my life, the glory that's going to be revealed one day in my life. Well, if you can't, this verse gives you hope. If you can't say that now, by the grace of God, you will say that down the road. Why? What is he doing? He's working in you. He's designed life around you so that he is, what is he doing? He's establishing us. He's rooting us in himself. The most dangerous time, I believe, for a believer is when they're baby Christians. Because when you're a baby Christian, you know, you just, you don't know a whole lot. You know Jesus, but that's about it. And so you're so excited, but the devil will do all that he can to dislodge you, to distract you, to knock you off your feet. We've talked about the fact the Bible says, let a man take heed when he stands, lest he fall. Because in the moment we're standing doing well, that's when the devil comes and pounds us. The weak believer just quickly turns back, goes back to Egypt. They came out of Egypt, and all of a sudden they're wanting to go back into Egypt. The young believer sometimes, the old life is not that far away. So we don't want to go back to Egypt. We don't want to remember the leeks and the garlics and the spices and all that. What we want to remember is the bondage of Egypt. We want to remember the fruit of sin in our lives. We want to remember how hard it was and how horrible it was to be under the bondage and the slavery of sin. And how we wanted to do certain things and couldn't do it. There was no strength. There was no power. But as we grow in the Lord, we get more rooted and more settled. Why? Because God is doing that. This is God's work. And Paul is, what he's doing here, he's ending up by simply, in my opinion, rehearsing the gospel and the effects of the gospel. It brings us into this amazing relationship with Jesus. I have this friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All my griefs to bear. He bears all my griefs. I'm able to go to him in prayer and talk to him and share my heart. And God works. God moves. What does that do in my life? It causes me to want to trust him more. You see, the believer walks by faith, lives by faith. We meet on Sunday morning and Wednesday night by faith because the Bible tells us to. And so that's the point I'm trying to make in this 25th verse. Now to him who is able, powerful, dunamis, to establish us. Then he says, according to my gospel. Not in some weird way. Not in some bizarre, occultic way, but according to the gospel. So that's why we study the Bible. We look at the Word and say, am I being rooted and grounded in the teaching of the Word? Am I believing what the Bible says? Am I walking the way the Bible says to walk? Am I living the way the Bible says to live? Am I letting Jesus rule and reign in my heart the way the Bible teaches me? That is according to the gospel. It's God that's establishing you and I in this gospel, this amazing gospel, because it has transformed our lives. Coming into the kingdom of God is just the beginning. It's like there's this whole exciting journey following him and knowing him and loving him and serving him and allowing the things in my life that come outside of myself and sometimes even in myself. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What does he say? But I thank Christ Jesus my Lord. The Lord delivers me from this body of flesh, this body of death. The Lord delivers me from every evil work. The Lord is the one that keeps me, protects me, goes with me everywhere I go. I find myself in the middle of all that. Why? He's rooting me and he's establishing me in the gospel. So the point is, down the road as we grow in this, it's harder and harder and harder to unroot us or unstick us. Who wants to go back to Egypt? Who wants to go back to the old life? Not me. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but I've also tasted the effects of sin, and it is horrible. The wages of sin, I'm telling you, is death. It always brings death. So God is establishing us. Next, this great work of God is done through the preaching of the word. Look what he says here. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. We as Paul says, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. We're not preaching ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. We're preaching Christ. We're turning men and women to Jesus. So we're telling people about that. But how does God work? He works because we are preaching Christ. The Holy Spirit came to do what? To reveal Jesus to us, to draw us to Christ, to open our eyes to see Jesus. What is the great work of the Holy Spirit? To reveal this revelation of Christ to us. That's how we're transformed from glory to glory, by seeing Jesus. So as we preach the gospel of Jesus, as we tell people, the way that you can defeat the power of sin is through Jesus. The way that you can have hope in a hopeless world is through Jesus. The way that you cannot be afraid of death is because of Jesus. The way that you can go through trials is because of Jesus. We're preaching Christ and Him crucified. That's what God honors. That's how God works. It's a very simple message. It's the same old, we keep sounding the same thing, but it's not an uncertain sound. It is a consistent, remember we said, he that's taught in the kingdom of God, he that's instructed in the kingdom of God is like someone who brings out of his bag things that are old and new. Well, we keep preaching Jesus. That never gets old. That's how God establishes us. So he's saying that regarding this great work of God is done through the preaching of the word. The Bible says God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And to the world's eye, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. It is the means by which I am transformed into a new creation. And anybody else is transformed to a new creation. Do you see my point? This is why it's so important we go through the word. This is why it's important we go through the books of the Bible and we teach the word and we open our Bible up and say, look at this verse. Look at the words that are in this verse. This is the reason we do that, so that you can look at that and say the word able means dunamis. It means powerful. God is able. God is powerful. God is dynamite. And he's establishing us. He's rooting us in Christ according to the gospel, not according to some weird ideas. We're not some wackos. We're solid individual people who believe in God and believe in Jesus. And the world may look at us as wackos, but we look at them and say, you know, you guys, I was talking to someone today, and I said, you know, actually my daughters came over. I won't get into that. They brought me lunch. And they were talking about someone, and I said, you know something? That person's going to die one day. And all that they are saying and doing, it's going to come on their head. And then what have they got? All those that follow Jesus are going to die one day if the Lord tarries, and every single one of us will be in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? I mean, we have won. We're already victors in Christ, right? So that's what he's saying there, according to the gospel, the preaching of the word. Look what he says here in number three, the third point I want to make. He says, as this word is preached, look what he says. He says, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Simply meaning that the gospel, what God is doing and what God has done in Jesus, and this whole new covenant, this new testament that God's established, was a mystery. So even the Old Testament prophets, when they prophesied and they spoke, they didn't understand it all. And I've shared before, as we've gone through Romans and even before that, you don't understand what a blessing we have. Because here we are at the end of the age, and of all the believers on the planet throughout the centuries, here we are living at the end of the age. I mean, this is it. And we can open the Bible up and we can say, wow, how come I get to live now? I didn't choose when I was going to be born. God allowed me to be born at this particular time in history. And what's my point? This great revelation that was hidden from all these generations, that even in the Old Testament, there were specks and there were pieces and there were parts and there were things said and all this. But it was a mystery. The word mystery means sort of veiled. There's this veil over it all. It's like there's hints at there's something glorious coming, something wonderful coming, and something new coming, and something powerful coming. But what is it? Look what Paul says again. Now him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, this unveiling of the mystery kept secret since the world began. And all of a sudden we come to this passage and we're sitting here going, Lord, I understand. I understand Jesus. I understand eternal life. I understand why he died on the cross. I understand how horrible sin is. I understand the book of Romans, at least in a measure. We know what the gospel is. Do you understand that over the centuries, over the millennium, so many did not understand it? Even godly people in the Old Testament who loved the Lord and who we look forward to seeing one day, they were saved the same way we are saved. They were saved by faith. They look forward to the coming of the one. We look back to the death of the one, but they still didn't understand it all. And what Paul is saying here, through the preaching of the word, there's this mystery that was hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Now it's revealed. Now all of a sudden, I'm telling you why Jesus died. I'm telling you this great mystery is all of a sudden revealed. Look what he says in verse 26. Verse 26. This word is preach. He says, but now is made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. So he says this whole idea according to this revelation. And now it's made manifest to all nations. You see, the Jews, we looked at this in our study of Romans. Paul was grieved over the fact that most of the Jews were lost. And then he said that I'm going out to preach this gospel, not to the Jew only, but also to the Gentiles. So what is he saying here? This revelation is not just to the Jewish people. We, by and large, are Gentiles. I mean, there's Jews among us that are Messianic Jews who have accepted Christ, but we are by and large the people that Paul's referring to here. So he's saying in verse 26, but now is made manifest and by the prophetic scripture. This, again, continues to point to the word, the word, the word, the word. It is through the preaching of the word people are saved. It's through the preaching of the word that people are taught. It's through the expository, I believe, systematic, the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation that we understand the great mystery. As we go through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, and all these books, we begin to see this great unfolding revelation. And we see what God's doing. And all of a sudden, here we are at the end of the age, and Paul is saying, do you understand that we grasp this? The Holy Spirit's been given to us so that we can come and learn and read and understand and grasp it. And we have this individual who Jesus said will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He's the one who illuminates and brings understanding to us. And all of a sudden, we understand the gospel. And Paul is saying it's a revelation. It's going out to all nations. That's what he says. But now is made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures, through the word. Preach the word, Paul said to Timothy, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort, because the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. That's today. But after their own lusts, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear certain things. They want to have their ears tickled. They don't want to hear the word. That's why God's answer is always the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word, the proclamation of the word. Who are you? You are word bearers. You are to go and preach the gospel to lost souls, to your neighbors, to your friends, to share the truth, to sit down with people and explain the word to them. I was sitting yesterday, my wife's out, and so I was sitting yesterday eating, And I heard this couple, an older couple, they were talking. And this guy was saying, he says, I've been reading the Bible a little bit. And he was talking about heaven, and he wasn't sure about stuff. And, you know, I'm sitting there, and I just can't hardly stand it, you know. And he's talking and tell his wife, did you know that the Bible is written on 3 different continents? And I'm like, I finally got up, and I couldn't take it anymore. I walked over and said, excuse me, sir. I said, you know, you have to be born again. He said, what do you mean? I said, Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he'll never see the kingdom of God. And I said, tell me what's going on. He told me, he's searching. He says, I'm not there yet, but I'm interested. I'm reading. I gave him a card. I said, tune in. Maybe he's tuning in tonight. But I said, my email is please any. Why? Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The treasure is the gospel, the truth, the word of God. And all of a sudden I hear this guy that's interested, and it's like I'm dying to tell him. It's like, can you imagine being chained to Paul the Apostle? Can you imagine? I mean, you can imagine. I mean, it was like, what a blessing. But and not that, look, I am not, in no way am I comparing myself to Paul the Apostle. But I hope that the Word of God inside of you is like a burning fire that you can't help but tell people the things you've seen and heard. And when you hear somebody, any kind of, you just can't wait. Let me explain to you. Let me share with you. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, maybe, and I told him, I said, here's my email. Any questions, please feel free to email me. I said, come visit us. Look online, you know, anyway. Why? Because God makes manifest this hidden mystery. How? By the preaching and teaching of the word. He's saying that. And he's doing that through the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of God. Look what he's saying there in that statement. Number 4. Obedience to his command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's how it spread. So in verse 26, he's now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So the prophetic scriptures tell us what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or another way to say that is this is the means by which God saves people. Paul the Apostle in his statement to the Corinthian church said, I didn't come to you with wisdom. I didn't come to you trying to blow you away with wisdom or you know, some kind of apologetic arguments. I preach Christ and Him crucified. I just tell you about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Please understand this. A man or woman doesn't come to Christ because of your powerful arguments. A person doesn't come to Christ because you're able to lay it out a certain way. A person comes to Jesus because the Holy Spirit moves. Does that make sense? Amen. What is it that causes the Holy Spirit to move? What is it the Holy Spirit blesses? The simple preaching of Jesus. When you preach Christ and Him crucified, the Holy Spirit moves. We've got to get away from all this. Well, I got to say it a certain way, or I've got to, it's depending on me, or I've got to work it. No. Just preach Christ. Tell people Jesus died for them. Tell them that I told this man yesterday, I said, look, Jesus was our substitute. He took my place on the cross. He shed his blood for your sins. If you'll repent and put your faith in Him, you can be saved. You can be transformed. You can be a new creation. You can be born again. But you've got to go to Jesus. And that's what he's saying. This is the means that God works. But we want to complicate it. We want to get some kind of a whatever it may be. Just preach Jesus. There was a time that Andrew and some of the disciples were there during Jesus' ministry. And they came up to Andrew and said, sir, we would see Jesus. Do you understand? People need Jesus. They don't need you. Oh, rats. No, they don't need you. They need Jesus. Now, God's chosen, the preaching of the word through human vessels. When the Holy Spirit came and this vision came to Cornelius in the book of Acts, the angel said to him, go to this place and call for this guy named Simon or Peter. He'll tell you what you need to hear. God has put this treasure in earthen vessels. He could have said it himself, but he decided, you've got to go to Peter. God wanted to save a eunuch who had come up to worship in Jerusalem at the temple on his way back to Ethiopia. So what does he do? He sends Philip in the middle of a wilderness. And Philip preaches Jesus to him. You see what I'm saying? How does God work? He works through you preaching Jesus. He works through human vessels. In other words, we want God to work. We want God to move. We want God to save. We need to figure out, how does God do that? Why does God do that? Here's what Paul's saying there. God does it by the simple preaching of Jesus through the vessels he saved. And because of our obedience to the command, that's what he's saying in verse 28. But as now is made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. The command of the everlasting God is that we should go and preach Christ. What is God's goal? To bring unbelievers into obedience to the faith. In other words, this man that I shared with you and his wife, he's got to obey. I told him, you have to repent and believe in Jesus. And if he'll repent, acknowledge his sin, he can't save himself. He's going to hell. If he'll acknowledge that, if he'll come to Christ and say, Lord, I cannot save myself. I need you to save me. If you'll put your faith in Christ, you'll be saved. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. But they have to obey. So you and I can preach, but it's up to the Holy Spirit and that person to obey what we say. But we need to say what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Repent and believe. That's the only two things God says. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. This guy was saying something about the rosary. I told him the rosary is not going to help you. But Jesus can. Jesus can save you and transform your life. So this is the point I'm trying to make to you in this passage. Look what he also says. But now is made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Every nation where the gospel is preached bears fruit. Think what I'm saying. That's what Paul's saying here. It says to the faith. It says, but now is made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. So everywhere the gospel is preached, or another way to say that is God's word will never return void. It will always accomplish what God's ordained it to accomplish. Or another way to say that is the word that I send out of my mouth, not your mouth, my mouth. That means that if we're sharing what Jesus wants, if we're being obedient and sharing the word, that's God's word. How did God create the universe? His word. His word. He spoke. Let there be light. And there was light. Let us speak, man, in our image, after our likeness. There the Trinity is talking about making mankind. We are a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And God spoke, and it was there. What are we doing? We are mouthpieces. We are preaching God's word. God blesses his word. God empowers his word. The Holy Spirit breathes upon the word. God anoints us and God anoints his word. This is how God saves people. By the Holy Spirit anointing his word and anointing the person, the vessel. That's how God works. It's like we can say, unless the Lord build a house, I'll labor in vain. I tell the Lord all the time, if you don't save this couple I sat next to, I tell the Lord, if you don't save this guy, I can't save him. I can't change his life. I say that every week before I come and teach. Lord, I can't do anything. I have no power. You're the one that has the power. You're the one that can do things. But God's chosen you and I through whom to speak. God blesses his word. The great tragedy, the great deception of our generation is the devil is moving in people so that more and more churches are getting away from the word, away from the teaching of the word, into all kind of weird stuff for pop psychology. That's why Paul says to Timothy, preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Just keep teaching the word. God's answer in time of revival is preach the word. God's answer in time of a decline is preach the word. It's always preaching the word. What did God tell Jeremiah to do? There when Babylon was coming down to surround, preach the word, tell the word, say the word, tell them what I'm telling you. You're just my mouthpiece. When God came to Moses, what did God say? Just tell them what I put in your mouth. What did he say to Jeremiah when he called Jeremiah? I will put the words in your mouth. What did he say to Moses? Who made your mouth? Or what I would say to you, who made your mouth? God made your mouth. Just speak the word. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's very, very important that you do all this. So God's not only causing us to obey by responding, he's also bringing others into this obedience to Jesus. Then finally in verse 27, the last point I want to make is that God alone is wise. Or another way to say that is the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who perish. And their brainiac response is, how can this infinitely wise God, this God that created all this, choose to save men and women by the foolishness of somebody getting up and speaking? To the world, it's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. They laugh, they scorn, they mock, they ridicule. But again, as the Bible says, to us who are saved, it's the power of God. Or Paul said it another way. He said this, to some, we're the savor of death. We smell like death. We come and tell people, and that's the last thing they want to hear, is something about Jesus. But to those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, it's like the fragrance of life. It's like, it's life to me. It's life. I hear this, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moves, and all of a sudden, this is what I've been looking for. I was praying, Lord, I want this man and this woman, when they were sitting next to me, Lord, I want them to see, I want them to understand that you've got to bring enlightenment to them. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They've got to come to know. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus, is God's answer. So he says in verse 27, to God alone wise, every other plan of man, all this technology is all crashing down. All this stuff, it's just going to burn up one day. And then what do we got? We're supposed to be, quote, evolving upward. Looks like me, we're going down. Then he says, verse 27, to God alone be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen, or so be it. What he's ultimately saying in this passage is God and God alone gets the glory for all this. I think what he's done in verses 25 through 27 is Paul's laid out the whole purpose of what his teaching was. I want to share the gospel. We've all sinned, first three chapters, and come short of God's glory. Here's the effects of coming to Christ and trusting in him. We're now there's a righteousness that's available apart from the law or separate from the law. That righteousness is available to any and everybody through faith in Jesus Christ. And when we come to Christ, we are transformed. We have a mission. Our mission is to preach the word everywhere we go. God's going to protect us. God's going to guide us. All things work together for good. Whatever the consequences are for us preaching Christ, good or bad, they are working together for our benefit. Therefore, who can separate us from God's love? Nothing can. And ultimately, that's the way that God works. And here's the deal. When God saves people in every nation, every place, every city, every town, every place that Paul went, God worked. There are some places that are deserts, but there's always a remnant. And the point Paul's making is this, to God alone be the glory. God alone gets the praise. When someone is saved, when someone is changed, when someone is impacted by this, when someone understands it, God and God alone gets the glory, not us. That's what Paul's saying. So I think in these verses, he's always summing up what he's been teaching the whole time and letting us know to God alone, the only wise God, it's his glory. This is the way that God works. This is the way that God saves. This is the way that God transforms lives. Or ultimately, when it's all said and done and the end of this age comes, it'll be those who follow him and those who don't. Believers and non-believers. That's it. Those who are born again and those who are not born again. It's not religion God wants. It's me. He wants my heart and my life. I come to Jesus. I ask him to forgive me. I say, Lord, please. When I was 19 years old, I got on my knees. I told Jesus I was going to hell. I told him there was nothing I could do about it. I was absolutely powerless and helpless and hopeless. There's nothing that I could do to change my direction. Only he could do that. And I called out to him, Jesus, save me. And I told him, I'm going to follow you. I don't care what people say. I don't care what people say, do. I don't care what the cost is. I'm going to follow you. And I did. It's been 46 years ago. And the only reason I'm standing here tonight preaching Jesus is because of the grace of God. The only reason you are here because of the grace of God. It's God's grace. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Let's pray. Father, this evening as we close our study, thank you for your word and thank you for this journey through Romans. I pray that we would glean it and understand it and grasp it. At whatever measure we have, may we preach it. May we proclaim it. Help us to know that you've chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. This is the means by which you bring lost sinners into the kingdom of God, by people opening their mouths and sharing Christ and what he did on the cross, what he offers to anybody who will repent of their sins and believe in him. He offers them eternal life, forgiveness of their sins, a whole new existence. And I thank you for that. We praise you. We ask you to help us to realize what these last three verses mean and ultimately end up by saying, amen. So be it. Let it be so. This is the truth. And anything that deviates from your word, from your gospel, is wrong. It's evil. It's destructive. We thank you that you've given us your word and you've given us the ability to read it and the Holy Spirit illuminates. And when we go through it, we just share the simple teaching of the Bible. And we're grateful for that. So may you be glorified. May you help us to go and preach this, especially in this generation. As we live in the end of the age, when we read the word, we understand, wow, we're at the end of the age, and we see that. We realize what's happening. It's exciting. A little scary sometimes, but it's really exciting. And I pray you'd fill us with joy. Help us to be able to say, who can separate me from the love of God? If I'm in Jesus, if I'm rooted in him and grounded in him, let me be able to say with Paul, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear to myself. But the moment I surrendered my life to Jesus, I died. I died to my own ways, my own religion, my own thing. And I gave it all up and I accepted you. You are our life. You are our hope. You are our friend. You are our Savior. You are the one that is, as the Bible says, what a friend we have in Jesus. We thank you for being our friend, Lord, that sticks closer than a brother to us, the one that walks with us through whatever trials we go through, the one who promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. And when it's all said and done and we open our eyes up in heaven, there you are, this great and awesome God. And we'll fall at your feet and we'll say, holy, holy, holy. The Trinity is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Before I forget...